hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening, and we thank God for another Saturday. And it's always a pleasure to come your way. Last week I was out of town, but this evening I'm here by the grace of God. Indeed, it's always a privilege to be here, and I'm starting a short series for the next 4 weeks, God willing. I'll be hosting some special guests. I'll be talking about them soon. First, I'll talk about the news, and then we'll get deeper. But for a highlight of the main discussion tonight, the BEC results are out. Parents are about to prepare, get their children to go to school. So this evening, if you know someone whose ward or children are going to SHS and you know them, you can invite them to listen to this evening's edition of Issues, because we'll be discussing some issues regarding going to school, what's happening in the schools and all that, and how parents can protect their children, educate them spiritually, guide them, seek the counseling that they will need and all that. A lot is happening, and you'll be listening, you'll be hearing some of it this evening as we embark on this four-week discussion. And actually, these are some of the executives of the SU in Ashanti region, and that's the whole essence of this program, to inform people, to let people know what is happening, the issues at stake, how to protect ourselves, how to help, and all that. So we'll be talking, I'll be introducing them as I go along. But first, Eben, as you know, my name hasn't changed. And I'm starting with the news, some of the things happening. The news now, it's always a struggle, what to use, what to pick, what to leave out. But we'll manage it like that. I need to pick some anyway. And it's this evening's own is a bit odd. Well, it's not all to listeners of Issues. It's always we talk about these things, but you hear some, which sometimes you read some of the news and your head is like, is this really a real thing happening in the world, or you are dreaming? But it's real. Okay, first let me start with 90 seconds to midnight. World closer to doomsday than ever. And this is according to the Doomsday Clock. The Doomsday Clock is now 90 seconds to midnight, the closest it has ever been to a global catastrophe. And Earth is closer to a catastrophic global demise than ever before, with the famous Doomsday Clock of the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists being at 90 seconds to midnight, thanks in a large part to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. This is the closest the clock has ever been to reaching the dreaded midnight. This marks a 10-second change compared to 2022, when the Doomsday Clock was set at 100 seconds to midnight. Quote, "We are living in a time of unprecedented danger, and the Doomsday Clock time reflects that reality," Bulletin President and CEO Raphael Bronson said, adding that 90 seconds to midnight is the closest the clock has ever been set to midnight, and it's a decision our experts do not take lightly. The U.S. government, its NATO allies, Ukraine have a multitude of channels for dialogue. We urge leaders to explore all of them to their fullest ability to turn back the clock, unquote. So why is it just 90 seconds to midnight? The change was largely due to the Russian invasion of Ukraine and subsequently increased possibility of nuclear war, especially with the nuclear rhetoric espoused by officials in Moscow. However, there were other factors at play too, such as the ongoing climate crisis. So what is the doomsday clock? The doomsday clock was first created in 1947 as a metaphorical countdown to the end of the world as we know it. Specifically, it refers to the impending global disaster that is solely caused by human hands, and it is adjusted every January upon review by scientists from the Bulletin. Upon its unveiling in 1947, the clock was 7 minutes to midnight. Since that time, it has moved back and forth a total of 24 different times. Originally, the biggest factor at play in evaluating how close humanity is to its end was the nuclear apocalypse. This makes sense, considering it was formed right after nuclear bombs ended World War II and right before the arms race of the Cold War started. In fact, the record for the closest of the doomsday clock had been to disaster used to be in 1953, set 2 minutes to midnight, when the US and Soviet both started the test of hydrogen bombs. This was seen again in 2018, when the clock once again moved back to 2 minutes to midnight in light of provocations between US and North Korea, pushing the chance of nuclear war even further. Why is the doomsday clock now at 90 seconds to midnight? Now, with nuclear rhetoric becoming common again thanks to the Russian-Ukraine war, that possibility has come back. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres even warned that this is now a time of nuclear danger not seen since the height of the Cold War. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has increased the risk of nuclear weapons use, raised the specter of biological and chemical weapons use, hamstrung the world's response to climate change, and hampered international efforts to deal with other global concerns. It goes on and on and on. So that's what the scientists are telling us. We are getting close to disaster. But this news, this one, it's my head cried when I read it. This is the headline. I'm reading it as it is from the Daily Mail. This rapist decided he was no longer a man only after appearing in court on a rape charge. So a man commits an offense, he gets to court, he says, now I'm a woman. And as this world has become so, I mean, and a judge agrees that, okay, you're a woman. Oh, no. There was fury after a transgender rapist attacked two women as a man, then changed gender before the trial. Islam Bryson was a shaven-headed Adam Graham with a tattoo on his face when he carried out the violent sex attacks in 2016 and 2019 after abusing the victims. Victims they originally met online. Bryson, who claimed to have had gender issues since age 4, began transitioning from a man to a woman in 2020 after being charged with the rapes. There was no reference to a 31-year-old having a gender recognition certificate during the trial. It is understood Bryson is being held in a segregation until Wanton Vale Women's Prison, where the attacker will be risk assessed ahead of sentencing to see where she will serve her term. Today, Bryson was found guilty of the two charges, and then the defendant denied the charges, saying in evidence that she would never hurt another human being again. Her defense, Casey Edward, even told the High Court in Glasgow, if you accept that evidence that she is transitioning, that she is aiming to continue on that path of becoming female gender, that goes a long way to acquitting her of these charges. Scottish Conservatives Shadow Community Safety Minister, Russell Findlay, said this rapist decided that he was no longer a man only after appearing in court on a rape charge. And you look at the picture of this guy, his head alone shows he's a man, and he's wearing tights, slacks, and everything shows he's a man in there. He says, I'm a woman. Just because. So while I was reading the reports, then they mentioned, oh, it's a common thing happening in Scotland now, where they commit the crime as men, and then say they are women, so that they'll be taken to women prison to go and continue their behavior there. And judges are also allowing and sentencing them to women's prisons. So you can imagine what is happening in these prisons, where the abuse of men who say they are women are welcomed into women's prison. And last year I read one news item here where there was one prison where a number of women were pregnant because they brought one of those so-called women into the prison. And this is the madness this world is witnessing. And it doesn't end. It doesn't end. The next one is a bit, is worrying, very sad, unfortunate. Christian faces prison term for sharing ex-gay testimony. So we have a case where a former gay says, I'm a Christian now. And the fact that he says he's a Christian now alone, he's being charged for saying that he left his old lifestyle. And that testimony will encourage others to also leave. This is the world we live in. In a case that could have far-reaching implications for all Christians who believe it is a part of their faith to share their testimony. Maltese, so is the case is in Malta, the country Malta. Maltese Christian charity worker Matthew Gretsch will face trial for allegedly Matthew Gretsch will face trial for allegedly promoting conversion therapies in an interview with the local media outlet PM News Malta. The small Mediterranean island nation was the first EU country to ban conversion therapy in 2016. And if convicted, Gretsch faces a fine of €5,000 or up to 5 months in prison. The law defines conversion practices as any treatment, practice, or sustained effort that aims to change, repress, end, or eliminate a person's sexual orientation, gender identity, and or gender expression. The penalty for professionals found guilty of breaking the law increases to €10,000 and 1 year in prison. The presenters of the PM News program have also received a criminal summons and will appear in court alongside Gretsch. During the media interview, he shared his story about his childhood and the confusion he had experienced when it came to his own sexuality and relationships. He spoke about how, as an adult, he had been involved in homosexual relationships before becoming a Christian, which changed his life dramatically. Gretsch spoke about how he does not agree with the term conversion therapy and said that the deeper he went into his Christian faith and exploring the Bible, the more I understood that in the Bible, homosexuality is not an identity as we make it nowadays, and neither is it a feeling but a practice. This means no matter what sexual feelings a man or woman is experiencing, if they have sexual relations with a person of the same sex, they commit the homosexual acts in God's eyes, and that is a sin, he explained. Just like any other sin, one can repent from it and ask God for forgiveness and ask him for strength to overcome. I am talking here from a Christian perspective. At no point during the interview did Gretsch invite any listener to attend therapy or encourage anyone to get help for unwanted same-sex attraction. Following the interview, Gretsch received a prosecution order from the Maltese police and was shocked when the police called me out of the blue and said they were summoning me for interrogation. For Gretsch, it shows how determined they are to stamp out any debates on these issues. I am determined, however, to raise awareness on the danger that conversion therapy bans are and will cause, not just to churches and society in Malta, but all around the world. The conversion therapy ban is creating an ideological domino effect. The gay rights lobbies take a single moral viewpoint around the human sexuality and enforce it on the entire population. Anyone who cares about freedom of speech should be alarmed by what is happening to me, he added. Gretch stressed that he will keep sharing my testimony because I don't want others to go through what I went through. I don't want them to be victims of unwanted sexual feelings. I don't want them to be robbed of the biblical side of the story around sex, sexuality, and marriage. I don't want the masses to believe born gay cannot change and allow that to go unchallenged, he said. Andrea Williams, Gretch's lawyer and chief executive of the Christian Legal Center, said, quote, criminalizing someone for telling their story of freedom from unwanted sexual behavior is discriminatory and violates their Christian freedoms and its fundamental human right to free speech. If Matthew is convicted, he will see men and women who are seeking help in Malta silenced, fined, and put in jail. Williams added, the LGBT lobby has struggled to define what the imposed term conversion therapy is. No conversion has been provided to justify the bans, but instead, the aggressive campaigning is aimed at criminalizing Christian beliefs on human sexuality and silencing any opposition. The trial is set for February 3rd and could have significant impact on other nations that have passed similar bans on conversion therapy, including Canada, Australia, and the United Kingdom. In the U.S., a total of 25 states, as well as D.C., District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and 100 municipalities have banned the practice of conversion therapy on minors. This is such a ridiculous story because now you share your testimony and it's now a crime because they believe your story can cause someone to also change. And is that bad? Because Amazon, the book selling website, discourages, they don't allow books that expresses the fact that you can convert, you can change. As a Christian, you can meet Christ, you can encounter the work of God, and you can change from that lifestyle. They don't encourage those books. Actually, you try to sell such books there, and they won't sell it for you because they don't want people to change. It tells you how the devil is running the show. So hold on to your lifestyle. Don't change. Keep on till you land in hell. So any effort to cause you to leave that lifestyle, they try to suppress it. And yes, they've been trying to discourage, media talking about these things and all. But this is a new case altogether. And the worry is it can be a standard, especially in the EU, where when this case, depending on how it goes, can then be the role model for others to follow, other countries to follow. And the whole thing is about Christianity, attack on the gospel. All right, let's get to this one. Church of England will bless same-sex couples. The church is falling away. As the Church of England announced its decision on same-sex couples on Wednesday, the head of the Anglican Church, Archbishop Justin Welby, foretold that the decision of keeping the Christian doctrine of heterosexual marriage but blessing homosexual civil unions will not be welcomed by many. You don't want to leave the old school marriage, but for the sake of these people, we'll bless their marriages for them. I am under no illusions that what we are proposing today will appear to go too far for some and not nearly far enough for others. But it's my hope that what we have agreed will be received in the spirit of generosity. Seeking the common good. Okay. Werribee said in a press release that announced the decision. The reactions in the first 24 hours have confirmed that the leader of the Church of England expected. One of the more evangelical and theologically conservative side of the Anglican Church, there has been a feeling of disappointment. John Dunnett, a spokesman of the Church of England Evangelical Council, said that whilst grateful that the House of Bishops seem to be indicating they don't wish to change the doctrine of marriage, the proposals such as prayers and blessings of gay unions could become a Trojan horse for doctrinal changes on the fundamental Christian doctrines in the future. A similar view had Anglican Futures, another group defending the authority of the scripture in the teaching inside the Church of England. The agreement made public by the bishops was, quote, lamentable because it denies the gospel and will please no one, unquote, they said, because offering prayers of blessing to those in same-sex marriages whilst claiming to maintain the doctrine holy matrimony as a marriage between one man and one woman for life is illogical, unquote. Another group which defends the traditional Christian doctrine of marriage, the Church Society, said that whilst, quote, sincere and specific apologies should be made to specific individuals, unquote, who have suffered when the Church has fallen short of standards demanded of us by God's word. Christians cannot apologize for following Christ and proclaim his word, as if that was not somehow the best way for us to all live. GovCon, the global evangelical movement inside the Anglican Church on international level, also lamented the move towards the blessing of homosexual unions in church. Once again, our Western Anglican provinces continue to go their own way on matters of faith and practice without consultation or consent of the majority of Anglicans around the global communion, wrote its leader, Foley Beach. Actions like the decision taken by the Church of England not only deny holy practice, but reject the authority of Scripture, the teaching of the historic Church, and the consensus of the body of Christ from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation alive today, the GovCon representative lamented. But then we ended with the statement from the Pope this week. He also threw a bombshell. We are all children of God. Pope says homosexuality is not a crime, but a sin. Not a crime, but a sin. Hey, in some way. Okay. In an interview with the Associated Press, Francis criticizes laws criminalizing homosexuality and calls on bishops to welcome LGBTQ people. Pope Francis has criticized laws that criminalize homosexuality as unjust, saying God loves all his children just as they are, and called on Catholic bishops to support the laws to welcome LGBT people into the church. Being homosexual isn't a crime, Francis said during an interview on Tuesday with the AP, Associated Press. Francis acknowledged that the Catholic bishops in some parts of the world support laws that criminalize homosexuality or discriminate against the LGBT community, and he himself referred to the issue in terms of sin. But he attributed such attitudes to a cultural background, and said bishops in particular need to undergo a process of change to recognize the dignity of everyone. These bishops have to have a process of conversion, he said, adding that they should apply tenderness, please, as God has for each one of us. Some 67 countries or jurisdictions worldwide criminalize consensual same-sex sexual activity, 11 of which can or do impose the death penalty, according to Human Dignity Trust, which works to end such laws. Experts say that even where the laws are not enforced, they contribute to harassment, stigmatization, and violence against LGBTQ people. In the U.S., more than a dozen states still have anti-sodomy laws on the books, despite a 2003 Supreme Court ruling declaring them unconstitutional. Gay rights advocates say the antiquated law are used to harass homosexuals and point to new legislation such as the Don't Say Gay law in Florida, which forbids instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in kindergarten through third grade as evidence of continued efforts to marginalize LGBTQ people. The UN has repeatedly called for an end to laws criminalizing homosexuality outrightly and says they violate rights to privacy and freedom from discrimination and are a breach of countries' obligations under international law to protect the rights, human rights of all people, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity. And then in the end, the Pope did not meet. Okay, this was in 2019. Francis had expected to issue a statement opposing the criminalization of homosexuality during a meeting with human rights groups that conducted research into effects of such laws and so-called conversion therapies. In the end, the Pope did not meet with the groups, which instead met with the Vatican's number two, who reaffirmed the dignity of every human person and against every form of violence. On Tuesday, Francis said there needed to be a distinction between a crime and a sin with regard to homosexuality. Okay, a new debate, a crime and a sin. Discuss. Anyway, let me end it here. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and I'll be back after this short break.
Can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own. Yet in my weakness, He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on.
to Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. The program is Issues of Life. You know, from the news items, a few, these are just a few, but you can see that the world is towing a certain line. And yes, it may seem like these are outside Ghana, UK, US, but these same issues are running as undercurrents in our country. We are having issues in our secondary schools. A lot of cases of such abuses are happening. I remember 5 or 6 years ago, I heard one case and it really shook me. When I know the family, their son went to a school and the son was telling someone apparently that because he knew a senior, he was protected, but all his friends were abused. This is a boys' school. And it's like, yes, that's horrible. You hear such things and it's like, so what is happening? Is there hope for our children? Our children are going to school, SHS, and parents are excited. My son has passed BC, and they are getting admission to the grade A school or grade B, whichever grade. I mean, the excitement of just getting to secondary school or SHS is all that a lot of parents are concerned about. But then we want to bring you to your attention the other side of it that you should understand and know, so that you can know what to do, the level of information and conversation you have to open up in your homes with your children, educating them. So if you know someone whose child is about to get into SHS or already is in SHS, I mean, tell them to listen. We are going to run this edition or this series for God willing about 4 weeks. And tonight we are introducing it, this aspect of it. And let me just introduce Mr. Billy Bones. And he will introduce, I've forgotten your name, so he will introduce you for me. Oh, no, so. please come closer to the mic of it.
Samuel Akuaku,
yes,
Kumasi area program officer, yes. Scripture Union.
Yeah, I forgot his role, so it's like, he had to do that for me.
Yes,
and I've known Mr. Bozu for several years. Several years. Yesterday we met on a different issue, but in the conversation, God knows how he does his own thing, whichever means he does it. For whatever reason, it just came up. And I just had a prompt that, no, we should have a series on this thing. Yeah. And then in the evening, as I was just reflecting about it, the Holy Spirit drew my attention that, hey, have I forgotten that BC results are even out? So the timing, at the time we were talking about it, my mind was not even there that children are about to go to school, BC results were in. So I said, oh, then that's even more interesting. The timing is right.
That's right.
So I believe parents are listening, friends, cousins, even those, the students themselves are listening and are going to discuss some of the issues. You are in the front lines at the secondary schools. Mm-hmm. And, this evening we're having some chats, before we started the program. The news that I discussed, LGBT this, LGBT that, and all that, how prevalent is this in our schools?
I would say that it's really going on in the schools. Mm-hmm. There's an agenda to, as the slogan goes, catch them young and they will be yours forever.
Yeah.
And they are really pursuing this agenda. It used to be in the secondary schools, but now it is in the junior secondary schools as well. Mm-hmm. But they are going there. Uh-huh. So that's the agenda. They catch them young. They get to SHS, they are there. By the time they've completed SHS, it means that they are into it and there's no way that they can go back.
Except Christ.
Except they are being saved by Christ. So this is an agenda, and it's also being supported. If you are going to accept it, I think about 2 years ago, there was an effort by Ghana,
Comprehensive
to introduce this thing. Yes, and this they didn't just wake up to say that it's we want plan. To introduce this.
It's a plan.
It is a plan being pushed by a group of people.
Yeah, globalists.
Yes, uh-huh, to introduce our young ones into this.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't think that it is something outside Ghana. We shouldn't think that it's something being done by only adults.
Yeah.
But now there's a conscious effort by this group of people to push it to the lowest level to get the young ones into it.
And they have money.
They have money.
They have money.
Yes. And what is happening is that they are supporting them. If they introduce you into it, or what they use to entice them is that they use money. They support them. And they have teachers, some teachers, who are also into it. So if you don't do well in class, they will pass you. Because they are your class teachers. And they have people in authority that, you see, it's a step-by-step agenda. So they promise you job. They promise you whatever that you need. And they use this to get you. So our young ones are really, really, really in danger. And as parents, we need to really wake up.
Yeah.
We really need to wake up because it's an issue. It's not only at the SHS level, it's at the JHS level
as well. GHS.
Because the young ones that we meet them when we go for missions or we go there to preach and do other activities, we meet them, and during counseling, in fact, the issues they are bringing up to us is really, really, really a worry to us.
Yeah, so, you know, yesterday someone told me a case where a pastor goes to a school, a girl's school, and the authorities actually prompt the pastor, please, when you are preaching, it doesn't matter what the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart to preach, add lesbianism to it. Because it's an issue we are dealing with. I mean, is it something that is far-fetched or is it a reality?
It's a reality. It's a reality. In fact, I think issues of lesbianism, lesbobo, I think these are names that are given such acts, especially in the girls' schools. And it's not something new. In our world or our school world, but the fact of the matter is that these things are getting worse. They are getting serious, and they are really affecting the lives of our young people.
Wow!
And so you have Christian heads, Christian teachers who are alarmed, and because of that, like the mistress who was prompting the pastor. I guess it's a problem she's going through, have experience in her school.
Yeah.
And at least with her concern, the heart with which she has for the kids, she's just prompting the pastor to talk about it. In fact, it's a dangerous thing. It's eating up our system. I have seen, we went to do a program in the school, and in just a month, when five form ones came to school, we met two guys who were form three seniors who were into gayism and had recruited two form ones in just a month of the first year's arrival.
Wow.
And so that tells you of how we Christians, we call it raining souls. We catching the people. We spreading the good news. We are evangelizing. And we shouldn't forget that these people are also evangelizing.
It's true.
So they are winning them.
And they are very aggressive when they are doing it. Yeah. They are very aggressive.
Aggressive. And this is what we need to know, and we need to, as parents, we need to be alarmed. As parents, we need to be alert.
Yeah.
So we can help our young ones.
Yeah.
Because they are innocent. They are innocent. Many of them are innocent.
It's true.
In fact, once in a particular year at SU camp, we had an issue of a JHS boy who apparently before he came for the camp had been in a gay affair for 2 years. And this person was an SU boy who attends SU meeting. And his area, when he closes, I think he was introduced to these people by his friends. They closed from school one day, and then they led him to the place. And since then, they started sleeping with this boy.
Wow.
And for 2 years, he has been in this until he came for the SU camp. And that is where we got to know this issue. He repented, gave his life to Jesus, took him through counseling, and he became free.
It's serious. I mean, listeners, if you want to send a message, 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. And if you send it early enough, not when I finish, and sometimes I'm almost at home before the messages come. So, you know, now my program is just 1 hour. I end at 9 p.m. So if you send a message, please send it early, and we can address it ASAP. You know, so her parents, I think parents are to blame in some instances.
Sure.
So we are raising this alarm and this issue on this program so that parents who are ignorant of the issues happening can set up. So let's address that issue from, because let's say a parent whose son or daughter is about to, results are in, about to go continue to SHS. What should they do?
Yeah, well, I think that the challenge that we have in our generation is that we expose young people to the social media.
Yeah.
I mean, a child who cannot talk when a child is crying.
Mm-hmm. Phone.
For phone. Mm-hmm. You give this to the child. So they become used to. And as they are growing, in fact, they know where the apps are and how to, visit site than even the parents who are even using it.
Mm-hmm.
So they get used to. And you know, as you go on social media, something pops up, whether you like it or not, and you want to see more.
Yeah.
And this thing is introducing them to. In fact, I met somebody, how the person got into it. Just saw a picture and wanted to know more.
Mind is so,
And this is how, and I think the person says that that very night, while she was sleeping, she had the urge for sex. So she has to visit the same site
for more,
and that is how come she was introduced to.
Wow,
you know, as parents, we have our responsibilities.
Uh-huh.
Schools have their responsibilities.
Yeah.
And I think that some parents are not really helping their schools to help their kids to grow. Their kids are at a Y junction or T junction.
Yeah.
They are the formative stage.
Uh-huh.
All of us are contributing to the development of these kids.
Yeah.
As parents, we have our responsibilities.
Uh-huh.
And schools as institutions, they also have their responsibilities.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't help them. Why do you give a phone to a student, JHS, to go to school? The child is there to learn.
iPhone.
You understand? And sometimes, you know, the child is using iPhone. A JHS, SHS is using iPhone. And the teacher is using YAM. You understand? So they have no respect for a teacher who is using YAM because they think that they are far better off than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the respect goes down. We are not saying that, as parents, you shouldn't make your kids live a better life. But there are certain things that you should let them know that
moderation.
As you are growing, every stage has some kind of things that you can do that you cannot do.
Yeah.
We all wish to have everything, but you cannot get everything at every stage.
Yeah.
Step by step, you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their kids are exposed to phone, they visit TikTok. And TikTok, they go there and they see some of these things. So they have people who are welcoming them, come and join our group. Now you see some young girls at the age of 12, 13, 14.
Mm.
Parents, you may be sleeping, and they visit, they use their TikTok, and they are exposed to this. A young boy at the age of 12, 13, 14, 15, exposed to some of these things on social media. Now they go to school, and school, like we said, we have people there who are pushing this agenda. So they have registration ongoing in the schools.
Wow.
They have some teachers that they are pushing them to get these young ones. That some students, they are giving them money, they are giving them provision, recruit. They are supporting them to recruit.
Hey.
So they have registration ongoing in the schools to bring them on board. Go to girls' schools, go to mixed schools, go to boys' schools. It's going on there. All because before coming to school, some of them were exposed. Others also were exposed to this, some of these things when they also came to school.
Uh-huh.
And that is why Christian heads or teachers, Christian teachers in schools are so much concerned about what is happening, because the spiritual dimension of it.
Uh-huh.
Somebody gave just toffee to a girl. And that is how come this young girl got initiated into it.
Hey.
Toffee.
It's
serious.
Somebody thought that she was not having provision. So went to a friend for help.
Conditionalities were coming.
And then the person said that, the person was, when she saw a friend who had enough of the provisions, went for it, and this person was supporting, I'm finding it very difficult to pay my school fees and a whole lot of things.
I'll help you.
And now, this person becomes addicted to it. We've had people, married women, married men, who are addicted to this, though they are married, but they are not happy. Because their husbands or their wives cannot satisfy them. Even after sleeping with their husbands, they have to go and do this. So some married women have their wives. Some are wives, some are husbands, though they are females. We have men of God. There's a book that I've written. I interviewed pastors' wives.
Uh-huh.
And when they are sharing stories of things that they have seen, people come to them, some of them who also introduced into it, though they are married, they are leaders in their churches, but because they were introduced into this thing at a tender age, it's very difficult for them to stop it.
Wow.
So as parents, we have responsibilities, we have roles to play in the upbringing of these young ones.
Yeah.
As Christians, We don't assume that, you've seen people that sometimes when you tell them that this is the way your child behaves, they will swear heaven and earth and say that, no, this child. But you see, we live in a world that people can live double lives.
Yeah.
So when they are in the house, recently in my church, we had a program and we asked the young ones to sing, and the whole pastor, I said that your child can really sing. Your boy can really sing. He said, me? No. This boy, he's the one who doesn't like talking. And the wife, I was also telling her, I said, this boy, I said, wait until you see. And we had a program. And when this guy was giving raps, the father was going out and said, who is the boy giving that raps? And I said, it's your son. And when he turned, my son, then he took his phone, going to record. So they can live a double life that you wouldn't even believe. So don't assume that they go out there just as they are in the house is the same way when they go out. No. This is the time that parents really need to wake up.
Yeah.
Get closer to their wars. Of course, they because of economic reasons, so they spend a lot of time. But you see, spending time with your child, praying with your child, get you to know them more, will help you, will do more good than harm. But if we don't do that, and we are so much focused on what to bring, yes, of course, we can send them to the best schools in the country. But it's not only about sending them to the best schools, but it's about their spiritual life, it's about their career, it's about their moral life, and their character development as well. And this is where we are, where a lot of young ones are being introduced to this thing which is really, really an issue that we are facing now.
I believe parents should also have frank conversations.
Let me come from this approach. There is a serious attack on children, on young people.
Yeah.
And that is what we should all bear in mind.
It's true.
Now politicians are looking for young people. LGBT people are looking for young people. Everybody is looking for young people.
It's true.
The church is looking for young people. Mm-hmm. Every group is looking for, even Freemasons are looking for young people to be part of them. And it's a biblical prophecy in the end times. It says, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Mm-hmm. Your young men will dream, will see visions. Mm-hmm. Whilst your older men are sleeping and see
dreams.
The young men, they will see visions. So the attack on young people is so great, and we have to approach it, see it in this perspective.
It's true.
And Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, gives us a very instructive and a very clear picture of the world our young people are going into.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a parent listening to us, and your ward is going to the senior high school, this is a picture of where your son or daughter is going to. The Bible says that, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves.
Yeah.
Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to... Okay, so let me even rest on the verse 16. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. This is what parents should know. That number one, their words are going into a world
mm-hmm.
that are full of wolves.
Yeah.
Wolves. Yes, they are sheep going in a world of wolves. We don't lose sight of the fact that there are other sheep in the schools, but then in that community there are wolves. And so if you are going into the world of wolves, then you need to be alert. Your eyes should be opened.
Shine your eyes. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's true.
So the one thing we fail on the premises that there's nothing at stake. When you come to the point that there's nothing at stake, you have failed. We should all bear in mind that there's something at stake.
A lot
at stake.
Yeah.
And so, knowing there's a lot at stake, you need to be alert.
Mm-hmm.
Every parent should be alert. That world, there are gays there.
Mm-hmm.
There are lesbians there. There are thieves there. There are...
all sorts of characters.
Every lifestyle can be found there. And so, we prepare our wards in such a way that I don't think any parent would want to see the world coming back home
mm-hmm.
in a lifestyle that is bad.
Yeah.
And so we need to prepare them for that positive lifestyle.
Yeah.
And what do we do? I think the foundation is set.
Mm-hmm.
No one lays a foundation on Christ.
Yeah.
And lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so, As people of God, we will say that Christ is the answer to this problem.
It's true.
You can be wise if you engage them, you introduce them to Christ. Because that's the only way you can be wise in the midst of wolves.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Because the Bible says that you are sheep going. So when you are introduced to Christ, when you get connected to Christ, you become like Him.
Yeah.
A sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And He gives you the wisdom to live like a sheep. Who is going into the world of wolves? Because He was a sheep.
Yeah.
And He came into this world of wolves.
Yeah.
And that is how come He was led even to the to Calvary. He was beaten. He went through all the pain. He died a shameful death because the people He came to meet are wolves.
Yeah.
And so parents, be alert. Know that there is something at stake. But there is a good news. Introduce them to Jesus.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Indeed, the SU is such. I didn't tell. I've not told my friend yet. I was in the SU secondary school. Seriously,
wow.
SU, And actually, I got born again in the SU.
We thank God for that.
Holy Ghost baptism in the SU rally.
Yay.
So the SU is something which, I mean, I really understand the need for it. And parents, as your children are about to go to school, or even those in school, the SU teachers already, it's time you encourage them to join the SU if they have the SU in their schools.
Yeah.
Is it because it does a lot. It does a lot. That one, as for that one, there's no argument about it. The transformation, you see, yes, we are in school for academics, but the spiritual aspect is what guides you in the midst of the wolves you are talking about. You know, I mean, a few years ago, I think, before COVID, 4 years or so ago, I was one of my trips in Accra. So I drove past the school. It's not too far from my family home. And I was just walking around, I'm driving around there, and then I got to a building, the SU were meeting, and I went there. And I was so excited because I could see that they've gone ahead of us.
Sure.
The power of the Holy Ghost was, I mean, you can see that
brilliant.
This one, God is at work. I was excited because then the system is still working.
Mm.
Generation after generation after all these years, the SU was still functional. I was so excited.
Great.
See, because if we are to ask a lot of pastors we have now in Ghana, a lot of them, their roots start from the SU.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, a whole lot of them. From the charismatic to the orthodox, a lot of pastors have their roots from the SU.
Yeah.
So it's one important cardinal points in my life which I can never, I mean, my history is a major part of it. SU was a major part of it. Then, right from Form 1, I mean, we're introduced into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's like my line of friendship and all are the SU type, the SU Krifi, Krifi, Krifi. That was my whole line of I remember, you see, it guides you. And so even when
you
feel like going astray, your SU brother is in the same house with you.
Mm-hmm.
Your class, an SU brother is in that. So it's like somebody is watching.
Check.
It's a check. It helps you. It helps you. So, I mean, listeners, it's time we introduce the SU to our children as they're about to go to school. Even those in school already, when you go and visit them, insist. And if they have SU in the school, insist that they join. If possible, you can ask for an SU executive, and then you introduce your son or your daughter to them officially, like they should take care of. So that there's some level of oversight, spiritual oversight, responsibilities.
Yes,
it helps. It helps. But all too soon, the time is really gone. But I mean, good news is it's not only tonight. We are continuing for the next 3 or 4 weeks, God willing. And a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the introduction.
Yeah.
And God willing, next week will be coming your way. This is recorded to be put on spiritissues.info and then the Telegram group. I also share it there. And for those who have questions, you can still send it, because God willing, next week they'll be here so that they can address your questions as well. And I believe there's a lot we can all learn and help our children. So good night and God bless you. So we had Brother Billy and then
Samuel.
God bless you for coming at a very short notice. It was just yesterday we agreed on this program, but it's gone well. We thank God for it. So good night and God bless you.